We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
As a cook, you're always learning. And even if you've been professionally trained, like the cook you were 5 years ago is different from who you know, the cook you are today. And we want to celebrate that and also kind of and celebrate that journey that everyone is on. And it doesn't matter like where you are on that journey. It's really about having a place with that you can feel kind of at ease. You can ask any question and you can also laugh at the mistakes.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day, even now in the middle of a pandemic. Today, we're talking about something most of us can relate to, the love of food. And Food 52 is a place where food is celebrated every single day or 52 weeks of the year. Whether you need to find a new recipe or buy the perfect baking sheet, today we're talking to the site's co-founders, Amanda Hester, who serves as the CEO, and Meryl Stubbs, who serves as the president. And for today's episode, I'm joined by my friend, my co-host, and my colleague, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Bill. It's great to be here.
Doing?
You know, I have a food thing, so.
Yeah, you are, you know, as I would say that it's the Italian background, because it always seems to me that when we get together, we always end up talking about food. And so I think this is a perfect episode for you to co-host. As a matter of fact,
I can't agree more. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, Amanda and Meryl, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
How's everybody doing? Well, I hope.
The sun is out. You know, it's a beautiful day.
What's this about a polar vortex in the middle of May?
And a potential bomb cyclone.
I don't get it.
Reading this to me over lunch. Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend it's not happening.
I'm just going to say, I take some of the responsibility for this. Two reasons. One, I put all my winter clothes away. Two, I planted vegetables last weekend.
You jinxed us all.
Yeah. I jinxed the whole thing. I mean, the winter clothes is one thing. The vegetables, though, that's a loss. I don't want to do it again, but we'll see. But anyway, so I want to learn, and I will tell you, if you, our listeners, have not been to the website, you have to go. It is, you know, you call it eye candy. I just call it eye food. I mean, and some of the best food. And it's so, I kind of go on about this because at the National Retail Federation, one of my responsibilities is, you know, the website and making sure that it's navigable, that people will want to go there and they'll want to come back to it. Your site is everything any site would want to be. I mean, it's really fantastic. So congratulations on that. But tell us a little bit about the company and the business model.
Sure. Well, you know, we really appreciated your description of it in the intro because you really kind of got to the heart of what we are aiming to do, which is to create a super high quality, comprehensive resource for cooking at home. And so, like you said, you know, it's a place where you can find a recipe. It's also a place that you can buy a baking sheet if you need it. And ideally, it's also a place where you can connect with other like-minded people who are, you know, who want to eat well and who see food as the center of a well-lived life.
So the question is, like, you built this community, though. I mean, how did you think about where you began and where you are today? That is a very strong community that you have of people that are involved and engaged and consistently engaged, not just pop in, pop out, but literally coming back day after day. How do you do that?
Well, I think, you know, you can build community in different ways. I think the way that Meryl and I went about it was just the way that inherently made sense to us, which was like, let's be there for people. You know, we felt like the internet at the time that we launched which is now 10 years ago, obviously has become such, you know, so much more massive and complex. But even then, it felt quite impersonal. And it felt like this incredibly like powerful tool for connecting people. And yet it wasn't being used effectively. And we felt like that was largely because it was sort of people were too reliant on the technology and not, and sort of forgetting about the human, like personal touch that, you know, and just like the, you know, just being human and actually being present on the site. And so we started really by just involving our community in meaningful ways for creating content from day one. So we hosted recipe contests, and anyone could enter. But more than that, anyone could participate in the vetting of those recipes. They could become testers. They could vote on the recipes. And even just by interacting with the recipe on the site, again, now here we're using technology, that interaction would add to the value of that piece of content. And so that's what we used to essentially kind of, we used our the interaction of our community to curate the content. And Meryl and I were very involved and we were very present on the site. And then as we grew our team, they too became involved. And so, you know, we just took a sort of more human approach to building community on the internet. And it's been really effective for us. We do think that with food, you know, it's inherently social. And so it's a very natural way to bring people together. And so in many ways, we're just taking advantage of that.
So Meryl, I have a question. One being, how big is the community today? And I wonder if you could share the story of The Cutting Board, which I only recently discovered The Cutting Board as part of your 5-2 collection. And I thought, I know I don't need another cutting board, but I need this cutting board. So I'll let you explain why it's so incredible and how you've worked with the community to design it.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, we have a community across all of our platforms. So we don't just think about, you know, the community that comes to the website, because there are plenty of people who interact with us primarily on other channels, like Instagram is a huge channel for us. We have 2.7 million followers on Instagram for our Food 52 account. We also just recently launched a Home 52 account on Instagram as we're expanding that content and those product offerings to go sort of beyond the kitchen into the broader home. It's not sort of a question of, you know, unique visitors to the site. It's a much kind of more broader and more expansive community that really spans more and more channels every day. You know, we're actually we're starting to do some TikTok experimentation. So there's just these different platforms all the time. Yeah, I know, right?
I actually just downloaded that, and the only reason I did, I resisted. Finally, that is very addictive, I must say. You got to be really careful.
I know there's enough to be addicted to, right? Totally. Adding something more to the list. But I mean, at the moment, we talk about our community across all channels, and we're, you know, at the moment, we've experienced a lot of growth in the past month and a half. So, for example, our unique visitors to the site have grown 50% month over month. Wow. We're 100% growth from where we were year over year last year in April. So we sort of lost track going into a couple months ago. It was sort of in the 23, 26 million. And now we've just been growing very, very quickly over the past several weeks. But to return to the cutting board, which we'd love to talk about, one of our favorite things. So we launched 5-2, which you mentioned, which is our own line of products. So we've been featuring products, you know, created by makers and manufacturers ever since we launched our e-commerce platform more than 5 years ago. And we always knew that we wanted to create our own line. And when we decided to do that, which was about a year and a half ago, we really wanted to go back to our roots, and our roots are community. And so we were thinking about products in the same way that we had approached recipes, which was, you know, really getting the opinions and the input and the ideas of real people in their kitchens and in their homes. And we thought, well, you know, why not do that with our product line? You know, we're in an industry and a vertical, you know, kitchen and home, where there really hasn't been very much transparency in terms of how products are designed and why, and sort of what the utility is, and you know, why a roasting pan has straight sides or angled sides, and really kind of tapping into the needs of real people in their homes. And so we thought, well, we do this all the time. time with everything else that we do, right? We talk, we have this back and forth with our community. So let's talk to them about, you know, the best wooden cutting board. And that was where it all started. You know, we thought most meals start with a cutting board, right? You're chopping something, you're prepping something. So let's start with that sort of basic foundational piece and let's design the best wooden cutting board in partnership with our community. And let's survey them before we even start the design process to find out what they want. And, you know, their pet peeves, the things they don't like, the things they wish existed that don't, combinations of features, you know, thickness, type of wood. Is it important that, you know, it's sustainable? All of these things. And we created actually a very extensive survey. It was 11 questions, multiple choice, mostly that we shared via our email list and we put out on social as well. And we had more than 10,000 responses. And that was, we kind of knew that, you know, we knew that home cooks are very opinionated and very passionate. We've seen the evidence of that for many years, but that number really kind of blew us away. And it really validated, you know, this idea as something that, you know, we really felt like we were tapping into something here. And so people filled out these multiple choice questions. And then in addition, we also got an incredible number of actually people writing in for the 11th question, which was essentially a free form, you know, a free field saying, what else, what have we missed? What are your dream, you know, hopes and dreams? Let us know. And 5,000, yeah, it was half of the number of people who completed the survey, the multiple choice, with handwritten, you know, ideas, suggestions, comments. And so we got really the most unique and useful details for the cutting board that we ended up creating from those answers. For example, we heard from a lot of people who wanted a board that would be dual use. So that would be a cutting board on one side and it could be a carving board on the other. And so, and then we were talking, that people were talking about the trough that runs around the edges of a carving board and how, you know, something that really annoys them is that usually that trough is too shallow. And so the juices end up just kind of spilling out over the edges. So can you please create a deeper trough? We thought, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. We've had that problem a million times. And then, you know, someone said, how about a pour spout? Because once you've collected those juices, you really need to be able to pour them into something without them spilling out over the sides. And so we thought, yeah, that is fantastic. So we did that too. So many other details. We did beveled edges to help, you know, to make it easier for people to lift up because that was important to people. You know, we considered people's preferences with the price point, making it approachable. And then, you know, we ended up with this design that we're really super excited about. We knew that our community was going to be excited about in advance, right? And we added our own little details. One in particular was we added a little slot to hold your phone so you can look at a recipe while you're cooking. And then, so it was this perfect combination of, you know, community input and ideas, and then our own kind of curation and that little extra something that we like to sort of throw into the mix. And you know, we released it and it sold out in 2 days. We expected for that inventory to last us for a couple of months and it sold out in a matter of a couple of days. And since then, we've actually released another version of it because we did hear that sustainability was important to people. We launched with a maple board and we've now relaunched it in bamboo, which is a much more sustainable wood and also at a lower price. We were able to lower the price point.
Great story. Just a great story.
Absolutely fantastic. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about my kitchen and my cutting boards and how deficient they are. They suck. Golly.
We can fix that for you.
And, you know, and that,
yeah, exactly.
You know, when you were explaining that too, it reminded me, I was having some house painting done. And when I paint, I have to tape everything and I still get it on the ceiling. It's just a mess. But I do everything. I think I'm doing everything right. So one time I had a house painter come in to do some walls that I just couldn't, there was no way I was going to be able to do it. Didn't use any tape, didn't do it. Perfect lines. Absolutely fantastic. Didn't spill a drop, didn't smudge anything. And I said, how do you do that? And he said, it's the equipment. It's the equipment that you're using. So I have a horsehair 2-inch angled, that's where I go along the edges. And I thought, you know, that's a great life lesson, because I can't think of a place more important than the kitchen to have the right equipment. You can try to make it up, but you could do so much more, so much easier, and it's a lot more fun, and it turns out a hell of a lot better if you've got the right equipment.
Yeah, you know, it's I think it's a really great point. You know, I would say over the past couple of decades, you've seen people investing a lot more into their kitchens in terms of like better stoves and better refrigerators and dishwashers, and, you know, really kind of getting into kitchen design, which has been fabulous and does make a huge difference to your experience in the kitchen. We feel like the same hasn't happened totally with the your cookware, your tools, and even your tableware. And so we feel like it's a really great opportunity, and it feels, you know, just kind of like, you know, ripe for, you know, innovation and, you know, original ideas and creativity. And we feel like us combined with like our expertise combined with, you know, the thoughtfulness of our community can really go a long way.
You were talking about the community, and they're very passionate about what they do. I think I've actually mentioned this before, Susan, that I have a good friend whose family literally like didn't come to blows, but they're still having issues over a cast iron pan that their mother had that was passed to her from her mother. And they all wanted this pan. And so, but it was a pan. It wasn't money. And they didn't talk for months. It was like the eldest daughter went in and took it. And everybody was like, where's the pan? So I told my mom, I said, hey, you need to identify very early on who your cast iron pan is going to. So I had no idea.
The chosen one.
Really? I mean, I keep talking about how much cooking I'm doing these days, and I'm hoping that maybe I get the pan. Sorry.
Well, it's funny. We talk about the fact that, you know, there are heirlooms, you know, in all sorts of categories, and the kitchen is totally a place where heirlooms are created. And that cast iron pan is a perfect example, right? My mother collected these stoneware pudding molds, like jelly molds, for many, many years. And then she gave me the collection when I think it was when I got married. There's so much meaning there, because they, you know, she spent so much time kind of looking in different, you know, antique shops and you know, rummage sales or whatever to find each of these. And each one has a story, you know, that we may not, you know, we don't know about, but it comes from somewhere in some other family. And they're really these objects that are, of course, useful. They're tools in a lot of cases, but they have history to them. You know, they just as a piece of jewelry might. And there is that emotional piece that is attached to a lot of these objects.
Well, my emotional is my Staub collection, which I have promised to my daughter. And every time I say, when I die, you can, she says, Mom, stop. Just, I don't even say it. But I was going to ask you, Amanda, I watched one of your recipes, which you were using a Staub pan for, I believe. You were making brined pork chops.
Yeah.
And I want to say that part of the reason I really loved this, and I wonder if it's this way in many of the recipes you create, was that you were very flexible about, you know, that you said, I went to the store to buy the peppers, but they didn't have the peppers that I normally buy. So I bought the smaller peppers in different colors. You were measuring salt and you said, there is an exact measurement, but I'm just going to go with it. And I could kind of really relate to that. And I think that's something that really does bond your community with you, is that flexibility that we're all at the stove. We're all just, you got to make it work.
Yeah. You know, the original name for our company was Burnt Toast, because Meryl and I, you know, despite having degrees from cooking schools and having worked professionally, we still always burn toast. And we felt like it was a way of, you know, sort of symbolically getting at exactly what you're mentioning, which is that, like, as a cook, you're always learning. And even if you've been professionally trained, like the cook you were 5 years ago is different from who you know, the cook you are today. And we want to celebrate that, and also kind of and celebrate that journey that everyone is on. And it doesn't matter like where you are on that journey. It's really about having a place with that you can feel, you know, at ease. You can ask any question and you can also laugh at the mistakes.
Well, I mean, I think it's also worth mentioning, Amanda, your new IGTV series that we launched just in the last several weeks, where Amanda is you know, we're putting up two or three videos a week of Amanda cooking, one of which was the pork chop video. And it's called Amanda Messes Up in the Kitchen, right? Because we all do. And people love it, and they love the accessibility, and they're constantly commenting, you know, about that very fact that Amanda's substituting, and then she's wearing her sweatpants and she's in her kitchen and everything doesn't go perfectly, and you know, an egg spilled on the counter. And but it's like, it makes it all feel, I think it if you intimidate people, you're creating a wall, right? And that's the last thing we've ever mm-hmm. wanted to do.
I do the cooking. I have cooked. So we, on March the 13th, we left DC because we were stress testing the office that Friday, and then we were coming back on Monday. It ended up that we never reopened. And so we were down at our farm in Southeast Virginia, where we have been basically for 7 weeks. And I have cooked every night. And this has been an extraordinary experience for me, because my cooking is basically done on a grill. I mean, that's what I've always done. And the problem is, in DC, right across the street from me was a restaurant. And we used to call that the kitchen, because that's where we went all the time. And so it's been an experiment. And it has, I have to tell you, I mean, at the beginning, it was very frustrating. And now it's become fun. I mean, I'm doing things that I've never done before. And we're not going to end today's episode without, I've got a question. I have to find this out, because I got an accidental bag of Brussels sprouts when I did the curbside pickup the other day. I hate Brussels sprouts. So I need to figure, uh-oh, you need to tell me where I need to go to find a recipe that even I would like to use with Brussels sprouts that would make them edible to me. So we're going to think about that. We're going to get back.
We have a few. Yeah, well, we can step
from
here.
It's very important. But I just, you know, so the pandemic, one of you all made a comment on the Today Show a couple of years ago. I think it was a couple of years ago, that there's enough stress and anxiety in the world, and cooking dinner should not add to that. And I thought, boy, that is so true today. I mean, what you're looking for is kind of an escape, that you don't want to stress over something else. You just want to have fun with it, and you want to do a good job at it, and you want to learn from it, and you want to, and you look forward to doing it again. And so what you're offering people through the website, I think, is a wonderful way to accomplish that. And that's something that at this time we need more than ever. So thank you for saying that.
Thank you. I mean, definitely the past, you know, 6 weeks has been, you know, obviously we've had a very strong belief in what we're doing for a very long time, and, you know, and have devoted our, you know, careers to it. You know, obviously no one wishes what has happened, but if you're looking for silver linings, you know, I do think like it's made a lot of people realize how important kind of home and food and family are. And so it's, you know, it's really kind of energized us and our team to kind of be there for people and, you know, continue like putting out great recipes and helping people in the community and, you know, creating products with them. And, you know, it's just, it's really made us kind of want to double down on our mission. Mm-hmm.
What's your sense for whether consumers will continue to cook at home post-pandemic?
I mean, I think we're very bullish on the fact that people will, because I think that people, you know, sort of out of necessity have had to do a lot more cooking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, what you were just saying, like we've heard from a lot of people that, you know, they've really seen, you know, gotten a lot of pleasure out of it. They've sat down with their loved ones and eaten meals much more, you know, much more than they had in the past. And that it made them realize how important it is to them. And so, you know, I think that we are definitely like hopeful and bullish that it will continue. And I think that, you know, a lot of things are kind of probably going to shift culturally. And to us, this is one that, you know, could be a very kind of a positive one.
I'm all for it.
Well, I think it definitely has for us. I mean, yeah. It has been one of those things where if you were to have thought about, well, what does this mean for our lives? How is it going to change? So much has changed.
Yeah.
But if you were to look at the good, this is part of the good. I think the opportunity to be together, yeah, to experiment together, to have fun in the kitchen together. And for me to now identify my favorite tools in the kitchen, of which I do have them now, particular pan, by the way, it's not a cast iron one, but it's one that I will never, ever leave out for anybody else to ever use. But it's such a fantastic pan. I mean, I used the worst pan for years. I didn't even realize I had this other pan. And then I used it one day. I was like,
it evenly heats. I mean, it's cooking evenly. And this is so cool. Why haven't I used this before? It's going in a storage room when I'm not here. But anywho, so I got the high sign from Jen, which means that we only have a few more minutes left. We do have a segment of this program. If you haven't listened to Retail Gets Real before, you were not aware of it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. It's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So for this segment, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but for this segment, we're just going to ask you a question. You're not going to think about it. You're just going to tell us the first thing that comes to mind. Promise. It'll be easy. All right. Susan, start us off.
Okay. Your idea of comfort food.
Bread and butter and cheese.
I was going to say bread and butter.
Fair.
That's why you work together. You're in sync.
Exactly.
Exactly. It sums it all up right
so
there.
So if there's nothing else in your refrigerator except for one thing, what is that one thing? It's always there.
Butter. The same thing. Totally. I was like, butter?
Well, regrettably, mine was, is, and remains beer. So it goes together.
Oh, okay.
Also,
that would be a close second for me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your favorite cookie? Let's see if you get on the same page with this one.
I'm going to say almond biscotti.
Whoa, I am surprised at that.
I made it recently. I was reminded how much I loved it.
As Amanda's husband calls them, Dead Sea Scrolls.
They're the best cookie also because when I make them, no one else eats them.
That's a good thing.
I'm the like only one in my family who likes them, and I love them. So, and I get to enjoy every single one.
I think I have to go with a molasses cookie.
Very good.
Like a molasses ginger cookie. Nice.
So starting with Meryl, what's the last book that you read?
Does it count if I'm in the middle of it?
Yes.
Okay. I am reading The Glass Castle. I know I'm a little bit behind on that by Jeanette Wall.
Okay. Meryl, what is something in your kitchen that you cannot live without?
The Four Agreements.
Oh.
Huh.
So Meryl, back to you.
Sorry.
One thing in your kitchen you cannot live without.
My electric kettle.
Okay.
Amanda?
My KitchenAid mixer.
That's a good one.
Susan, close us out.
All right. If there was one recipe that you would consider your go-to, what is it?
Almond cake. My mother-in-law recipe.
Her mother-in-law.
I'm seeing almond as a theme here.
It's true. I think mine would have to be, there is an amazing pork shoulder ragu recipe from Jenny Rosenstrike and her husband Andy Ward that we've published on the site before, and I just can't get enough of it. That's a great one.
Well, that was very good, ladies. You did a great job. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And so if anybody wants to learn more about Food 52, where do they go? Well, it seems like you got a lot of platforms going.
Well, food52.com on the internet. And then, yeah, we're at food52 on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on, you know, all the... Yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah.
YouTube.
I don't dare go to TikTok to find you. I will be there for 45 minutes.
Sucked into the vortex.
I've got things to do. So, Amanda and Meryl, thank you so very much for your time. This has been great. This has been a lot of fun. A highlight, truly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for us.
We really enjoyed it. Susan, thanks for co-hosting. You're the best.
Thanks, Bill. This was fun for me.
Yeah. And thank you out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. During this time, we sign off wishing you well, safety, health, stay inside, and join us next time for Retail Gets Real.